Thank you for listening to this teaching from Forerunner Fellowship. For more teachings or to subscribe to our podcast, as well as information about our congregation, visit our website at forerunnerfellowship.org.
Well, this is a series called The Power to Live Well, and we're doing session two tonight, which is The Power to Forget. In the last session, we did The Power to Remember. And the gist of that power to remember, really, if you want to get down to it, the gist of that session was about remembering all the things that God has done so we would live like that's really God. We would live like God has done those things, and we would make our decisions out of the knowledge and the faith of all the things that God has done. Remembering the God of the Bible, remembering the God of our circumstances, remembering the God of the miracles. I was chatting with this new couple that we've got. I'm so grateful for Felipe and Aline, to be with us tonight. I was chatting with them just a little bit before the service or during the meet and greet and talking about some of the supernatural things that they've seen happen in life. And it's living out of the truth of those supernatural experiences, remembering that God really did that so that we would believe that he'll do it again and even something better or bigger or different. And so that was the first session, the power that we have to choose to remember. Well, now we're going to go the opposite direction. Now tonight we're going to talk about the power that we've been given to forget. And it's of a completely different sort than the first session. What we're going to talk about tonight really is we're talking about the power to let go. The power to just let things go, the power to release, the power to not have to hold on to the things that God doesn't want us holding on to, that we've been given power to do it. And so often, we don't exercise that power, and we experience great pain, and it's all our fault. It's not the Lord, it's actually us. And so I want to talk tonight about the power that we've been given to forget and what that power to forget actually means and equals in our lives. And so I am excited about this one because I want to tell you something. The reason that we're doing this series is because I am fully convinced that these eight sessions that we're doing, each of these secret powers, if you will, each one of these in the scripture provides us a tremendous ability to live better. That we don't have to live like the lost world does. We don't have to live like an uninformed believer. We don't have to live like those that love the Lord but don't have a Bible. We can live with power to make our decisions differently, to live differently. There is authority that's been given to us. And the reason I'm excited about this is because your life will be better if you'll do these eight things. If you will remember the God of the Bible in your decision making. And tonight, if you will intentionally forget the stuff God wants you to forget about, if you will do these things, your life will be better tomorrow. I'm positive of this. We have power resting within us. We just need to activate it. So, what I want to talk about tonight is the power available that enables us to forget stuff we shouldn't be thinking about. There is power that enables. Now, it's one thing to just try to, by your own, you know, free will or whatever, just to forget something. It's another thing to know that you've been given power from God to do whatever you need to do, including the power in your inner man to forget things that are unhelpful. There are things that we have wrongly held on to. We have wrongly held on to them even tightly, and they've hindered our life. They've hindered our relationships. They've hindered our thought processes. They've even kept us from job promotions and opportunities. And it's us. It's on us. Because we've wrongly held on to things that the Lord actually wanted for us to forget. We can choose to embrace this power. That's the whole message tonight is this little intro. We can choose to embrace this power if we want. And we can release those poisonous things that we should not be holding on to. We have power to release them. Or we can continue to hold on to things God doesn't want us to hold on to. We can continue to hold on to them and then suffer the ill effects of having those things weighing on us in our mind, in our thought processes, in our daily realities. This session is intended to convince us that we have that power and then provoke us to take the steps to actually start forgetting things on purpose. All right? So I just want to give you this verse in 2 Corinthians 10:4, normally a spiritual warfare verse, but You know, the battle of spiritual warfare happens more in your brain than it does anywhere else. The battle of spiritual warfare happens more in your mind than it does without and with other people and entities from without. You've got more spiritual warfare in your brain. In the passage, in the Ephesians 6 passage on spiritual warfare, put on the full armor of God, it says, take up the shield of faith to extinguish the flaming darts of the enemy. You know what those darts are? They're darts thrown at your brain to get you to think about things. They're thrown at your spirit to get you to feel things. They're thrown at your body to get you to be infected by stuff. A significant part of spiritual warfare is fought in our minds. So I want to read the verse. The weapons that we fight with are not the weapons of the world. On the contrary, they have divine power to demolish strongholds. Divine power, power from God to demolish strongholds. I believe that some of the most significant strongholds, some of the most significant difficulties that we have to overcome are actually the ones that hit our brains, the ones in our minds, the ones in our thought life. And we're told from the Word of God, you have divine power to overcome and to demolish strongholds. You know what happens with those strongholds? The area of our thought processes, the area of our mind is, in my opinion, the easiest area or the most obvious and the most abundant area that the enemy tries to build strongholds in. Here's how it works, okay? The enemy throws that fiery dart and you don't do anything with it. But remember, it's on fire, okay? So now you have a fiery dart that is on fire that's now catching fire to whatever it's touching. And if you don't deal with that fiery dart, it now starts to decay everything that it touches. Then the enemy comes in and he starts to build a stronghold right there where that dart landed. We have the power to demolish strongholds. We have divine power. This whole course that we're doing is about the power to live well and about having power from heaven to do something with our lives, to do something about the different circumstances and challenges that we face. I want to tell you, you have power, divine authority from heaven to forget bad stuff, to forget unhealthy things, to not dwell on stuff that's unhelpful for you. You have divine power. We can either embrace this reality and release stuff or suffer the consequences unnecessarily. So, what are some of the things that I'm talking about? This is not an exhaustive list, but just some ideas to kind of get us thinking about, okay, what is some of the stuff I should be forgetting? Okay, let me give you some of the stuff you should be forgetting. Baggage from your past. Why in the world would you think about that? Why in the world would you let that hold sway? You know what's so funny? I was preparing this message this week, and as I was driving down the road, I was hit with a very strong urge to think about some stupid stuff I did probably 11 or 12 years ago. Probably 12 years ago. I was thinking about some stuff that I didn't want to do. I mean, it wasn't like the most horrible thing in the world, but it's just stuff that I just wish I didn't have on my record. You know what I mean? And I was thinking about it, and all of a sudden, I was like, you are doing the thing that you're going to preach people not to do. I was like, no, in the name of Jesus, I'm not thinking about that. And I just realized how unfruitful. Why dwell on this? This thing, it's over, it's past, there's nothing I can do about it. I already repented, it's so done. The enemy wants to bring chains to our lives by getting us to dwell on old baggage. Why? Why give it 5 minutes of attention? I thought about it for about, I don't know, a minute or two and realized what I was doing, and I was like, no. This is dumb. I am not thinking about this anymore. And I just chose to forget it. I'm like, I am totally passing that up. I got another one for you. Listen, I'm telling you guys tonight, if you will hear this message, you will live more free leaving this building. If you will hear it. Another area to let go of is hurt feelings. It doesn't do you any good to walk around with hurt feelings. And what if nobody is coming to make amends? I mean, it would be better if whoever hurt your feelings would come and fix that. That's better. I mean, I want that for you. But if that doesn't happen, don't hold on to hurt feelings. You'll be in bondage. You're not punishing them. You're punishing yourself. don't hold on to hurt feelings. That is a really, really unhealthy way to live. The Holy Spirit says you have divine power to forget hurt feelings. You can look that hurt feeling right in the eye and go, not anymore. No. Why walk around with the burden, the baggage of hurt feelings? Listen, I know the world's a tough place. I know people hurt your feelings. I've probably done it. I'm sorry. If it was me, come talk to me. I'll do everything I can to make it right. But if the person or the entity or the group or the person in traffic or whatever that hurt your feelings, like, don't live in bondage. Forget your hurt feelings. Well, I can't forget my hurt feelings. It hurts too bad. It's too much in me. Listen, that's a lie. You have divine power to demolish strongholds. And I promise you, those hurt feelings are right now erecting a stronghold in your brain, heart, mind, soul, and emotions. Don't hold on to hurt feelings. Forget them. Take them to the Lord and say, I want to forget this thing. Next, past rejection. I mean, there's not a person in this room that hasn't been rejected by something, for something, by somebody, for some reason. Some of that rejection was probably because you did something silly. Some of that rejection was unwarranted at all. But don't hold on to it. Like, just think about this. God has plans for your life and purposes. He wants to prosper you and not to harm you. He wants you to have a hope and a future. He wants you to enjoy life. He wants you to be all about the greatest commandment. And you're chained. I mean, you are chained because you're holding on to a past rejection and you're like thinking about it and you're meditating on it and you won't let it go and you're making your decisions based out of that hurt, out of that rejection. That's not healthy. Like, that's not God. That's like a totally unhealthy way to live. You have power to forget it. Oh, I've never thought about having power to forget. I've always just dwelt on that. This is just rejection. You just can't shake it. You can shake it. You have power to forget the rejection. And I want to encourage you. I want to implore you. Forget that rejection. Don't be held in bondage. Don't live a life bound by that rejection. Forget it. You have power to forget it. Next one, jealousy of others. I mean, every one of you would be a liar if you didn't put your hand in the air when I said, has anybody in here felt a little bit of jealousy over the course of the last week, month, or year? Like, it's real. Jealousy is real. Oh, I love it. Anna in the back's got my back. So, everybody in here, we struggle with jealousy. It's okay. Just don't camp out there. You have the power to forget that jealousy. You're like, man, I've been jealous about this person and what they have. I've been jealous about this situation that this friend of mine has. I've been jealous of this lost person and how blessed they are. You have power to forget that and cleanse your mind of it. And I just want to tell you, if you don't exercise that power that you have, authority over that thing that's trying to build a stronghold, you'll suffer unnecessarily. See, so much of our bad in life, it's on us. Because the scripture gives us the way out. We just go, no, it's not fair for me to let go of that. So I'm going to hold on to it to punish them. They never even know you were punishing them. And you're just living bitter. Who's the one punished? Like, it's so crazy what we do. Like, we hold things over people. And I promise you, they don't care. They don't care at all. They're not losing sleep. They're fine. But you're all anxious. Like, our hearts get so caught up. And we get beat up, and it's unnecessary because we have the power to forget it. Just release it. Let it go. Let it go. Let it go. Just let it go. You'll be better off. How about former successes? There are some things that were some former successes in your life that if you're not careful, even those can wind up being an unhealthy poison. I mean, there's some good things that have happened in life. It's just not what God wants you thinking about right now. Former failures. Memories that God wants you to forget about. Memories. Dreams and pursuits that God wants you to lay down. There are times where you know the Lord is speaking to you. And I don't mean every dream and every pursuit. The Lord put a lot of those in there and wants them there. But there are some times where the Lord is speaking about you laying something down, and you would be so much better off to forget about it and move on. You would be so much better off. You got to take discernment, know from the Lord, is that something that the Lord's speaking? Is he saying, you should let this go, you should lay this down? If he is, you'd be better off to. If he isn't, then whatever you do, don't let go of that thing. But there are times where we misunderstood something or situations shifted and are just, there's times where the right thing to do by the Lord, he's leading you, he's speaking. God's saying, I want you to lay that down. And by holding on to it, you are unnecessarily punishing yourself. There are times where we just need to forget and move on. Just move on. It's power that we have to do this. I'm not talking about living in denial. I'm just talking about not dwelling on what's unhealthy. And in one season, something that's totally harmless, the next season, that harmless thing might be very unhealthy. Some things are unhealthy all the time. But you've just got to, like, not give yourself, not give your thought life over to dwelling on unhealthy things. Dismiss them. Let them go. Move forward. Because there are bondages that are getting attached to those unhealthy things that the Lord's actually wanting you to let go of. And they're holding you back from what God wants to do with you right now. There's so much that God wants to do with you. He's not done with you. He's like, you're important to him, or you'd already have graduated and gone up. He wants you on the planet. I know, because you're still here. If he wants you on the planet, it's not so that you can just exist and kind of make it another year or two or 10 or 20 or 100. He has purposes for you. But there's stuff he can't do in your life if you're hanging on to these things that you're really supposed to be forgetting about and moving on. You know, we only have so many, like, brain cycles. You've only got so much energy that you can give to your thoughts. You've only got so much physical energy. You've only got so much spiritual capacity. Why in the world would we want to waste a significant chunk of our resources, our mind and our emotions and our physical strength? Why would we want to waste a significant chunk on stuff God's like, I don't want you thinking about that ever at all. Totally never. And we're giving our time and attention to it, meaning we're not able to give our time and our attention and our emotions and our strength to the things that the Lord actually does want us doing in this season of life. You have power to forget, but you have to exercise that power. All right, I want to talk a little bit about experiencing that power and freedom. Ephesians 3, verse 20 through 21. We looked at this again in the first session, but I want to look at it again. And I want to remind us that the way that we access power, I mean, whether you're talking supernatural power to raise the dead and heal the sick, or you're talking about the power to forget, or you're talking about the power to remember, or the power to forgive, or the power to repent, or the power to whatever, all of these powers, all of them are accessible the same way, and that is by applying spiritual principles. The Bible says do this stuff, and it's an on-ramp to power. It's an on-ramp to be able to tap into things that God wants us to do. And if you don't do that on-ramp, you don't get that power. Pretty simple. But look again what the Word of God says, Ephesians 3, to him who is able to do immeasurably more than we ask or can imagine, according to his power that is at work within us. To him be the glory in the church. To his power that is at work in us. We have the power of God readily available within us, and we're able to access that power in its 100 different manifestations by 100 different spiritual principles. And when we do this principle, we access that power. And when we do this principle, we access that power. And then we're able to do stuff we weren't able to do in our own strength, because we were never intended to do it in our own strength. You have power living within you. You have divine power to be able to tear down strongholds, to get stuff done, to kick tail, and to take names. You have power, the Holy Spirit, living within you, and you access that by applying the principles of the Scripture. This is important for your life. Greatly hindered. I just want to say this kindly. There are some of us in this room tonight that are more than a little. There are some in this room tonight that are greatly hindered in our life right now because we refuse to forget something we should be forgetting. Greatly hindered. This is important. This is a powerful one. There's things in this season that the Lord wants you to do. Now, in all honesty, there are some things that we'll talk about here tonight that you might have never even thought. I never even knew that was a bad thing to even think about. Like, it's possible that there's some stuff you're like, well, I never thought to, like, try to forget that because I never even thought that was a bad thing. That's going to be some stuff. There's another category. There's some stuff that you thought, man, this is really a challenge, but you didn't even think it was possible to get free from that line of thinking. Like, I've been thinking about this for a year, 10 years, 20 years, all my life. I've been thinking about this hard for weeks or months. It's like all consuming. And it never even dawned on you, you have power to stop thinking about it. It never, you're like, I never knew I had power to stop thinking about it. Some of you are like, I never knew I could get free from that. It's so strong. It's such a stronghold. I'm stuck. I'm going to die. In 5, 10, 100 years, however many years, I'm going to die still thinking about this thing because it's just so strong I can't get rid of it. That's a lie. You can. You can forget it. And I think that the Lord tonight wants to set a bunch of you free by just giving you the simple tool of being able, by God's power, to forget stuff so that you don't have to dwell on it, so it doesn't have to poison your thought and your mind, your emotions anymore. We don't want to live in a state of unhealth. It's a very unhealthy thing to hold on to things that are not what God wants for us. The impact on our life is wholly negative. It is so negative. I want to tell you, I just want to like give us the sales pitch on why we really, really want to let stuff go tonight. Okay? When you are holding on to things that God wants you to let go of, when you are refusing to forget, instead you're like, no, I'm going to hold on to that. I'm embracing this pain, this hurt, this rejection, this remorse, this unhealthy thing. I'm holding on to it. I won't let go. When you do that, here's what happens in your life. It misinforms your decisions. That unhealthy thing makes you make decisions differently. Now think about that. You make one decision in your life differently because of that hurt. Then you make another, you make another. It's 3, 4, 5 years down the road, you've made a dozen decisions that were informed by that thing God told you. I don't even want you thinking about this. And you were making decisions on top of decisions, and God's like, stop it. Stop thinking about that thing. That thing is poisoning your brain. It's making you make decisions out of a completely different thought process than what I wanted, and all you needed to do was forget that thing. Holy Spirit, I ask you right now in Jesus' name that you speak clarity to each heart and mind in here, specifics of how this applies to them in their life right now. Holy Spirit, speak across the room. Drop those things in their spirit. That way it's not just me talking about a principle, it's them relating it to a specific reality in their life right now in Jesus' name. Second, it influences your emotions. Oh, this is so dirty. The enemy is dirty. We were created to be emotional beings, and that's not a bad thing. But when we hold on to things that God wants us to not hold on to, we don't get rid of the fact that we're emotional beings. And our emotions attach to that thing, and they were never intended to. We were supposed to forget that thing, but instead now, emotions are connecting to that thing. Our emotions are being influenced by that thing. It's jealousy. Think about this one. This one, like, it's close to home for all of us, probably. You're feeling jealous. You're not letting go of jealousy. Somebody did something, said something, whatever, got something, you didn't get something, and you're jealous. Now your emotions towards that person are negative. Now, you weren't supposed to be operating in negative emotions towards that person, but now your emotions are influenced every time you hear their name, every time you see them. Your emotions are negatively impacted because you didn't forget something, because you didn't let something go. And now you're walking around with negative emotions towards that person or that thing or whatever, and you were never supposed to. Next, they misdirect our life. When there's stuff we're supposed to let go of, stuff we're supposed to forget, it doesn't just impact our decisions, but it compounds. It can actually get you completely off course. Thinking about things, refusing to let go of things, can actually get you completely off course. Because you're making those decisions out of it. Your whole worldview is beginning to shift in little ways, not like in massive ways, but in little ways. And you can wind up off course. You can wind up off the path because you wouldn't let go. You wouldn't forget, and you have power to. You have the power to forget that thing. I couldn't forget that. Yes, you can. You can forget that thing. God has given you divine power to forget that thing. And if you're willing to partner with God, He will give you the power to forget that thing, and you'll be better off. Hanging on to stuff we're not supposed to unnecessarily complicate situations. I don't know about you. I just want to live simple. I don't want my life to be complicated. I hate complicated. Like, I look behind the computer, and, well, it's a little easier now. Thank you, you know, Microsoft and Apple for making things a little easier the last few years. But I can remember back in the day when there'd be like 27 cables sticking out of the back of a computer. Like, oh my gosh, I just look at it and start crying. I don't like complicated things. I don't like my life to be complicated. I don't want complexity. I just want to live simple. Like, I don't want to have complicated. I don't like it when my life is complicated. I sure as heck don't like it when it's unnecessarily complicated. Okay? Where it's like you're embracing, you're jumping into a situation where your life is now more complex, situations are more complex, because you're having to navigate the stuff that God wants you to hold on to and the stuff that you're not supposed to be holding on to. And you have to now live your life doing both. It's complicated. Because a lot of times, the things that you're holding on to that you're not supposed to be, and the things that God wants you holding on to, a lot of times those things are in conflict. A lot of times those things are not in agreement at all, and you're trying to figure out how to balance both and do both. It's like a bunch of cables sticking out of the back of the computer you're trying to figure out. And it's unnecessary. We complicate our lives by holding on to things God doesn't want us to hold on to. Forget them. It impairs our relationships. So many times. Like, we're holding on to anger. We're holding on to a grudge. We're holding on to a hurt. We're holding on to a miscommunication. We're holding on to a letdown or a rejection. We're holding on to it. It's like, we're holding on. I mean, just think about this. It's like you're holding on to like a little pet demon. And you're like, I'm keeping you. You're little. You won't hurt me. It's like you're holding on to something God totally doesn't want you holding on to. It's totally not healthy for you. You were meant to live free and clean and righteous and forgiving. But you're holding on to something, and it winds up complicating your relationships. Because now that relationship with that person, it's hindered. It's not hindered by God. Right now, it's not even hindered by the devil. It's hindered by you or by me. Because we're holding on to something that's totally not what God wants us thinking about and giving ourselves to. We complicate the situations. We impair our relationships. God wants there to be unity in the body of Christ. One of the greatest points of division related to unity in the church, whether a local congregation, a small group, your spouse, one of the greatest points that causes disunity is we're holding something against that person that God doesn't want us to. And as a result, instead of forgetting it, we've got an impaired relationship. It's tougher at home. It's tougher at work. It's tougher in the small group. It's tougher on the worship team. It's tougher. And it should be. It doesn't have to be. You have power to forget. But you're choosing not to embrace that power, so now you got to hold on to the crud. And now your relationship's cruddy. It impairs relationships. Boo on that. It can keep us from our destiny. There are certain things that can actually keep you from the plan of God for your life. I mean the big ones. Not just the little stuff. There's stuff you can hold on to I was talking to a guy, this was a few weeks ago. My heart just broke. My heart broke for this guy. He was hurt by the church, is what he said. And so he hasn't been to church in like, it was like 20 years. This guy used to be like real deal prophet. Real deal. And moved in signs and wonders. He had crazy stuff going on in his life. I was like, he's telling me the stories, and he's telling me some of the guys he used to run with, some of my heroes. And I'm like, whoa. And he's telling me all this stuff. And he's like, and I'm kind of picking up, you've held on to bitterness, and it has completely kept you from the purpose of God for your life. You're supposed to be over here. And instead, you're a hermit over here with very few relationships, totally off course, totally divorced from your destiny. And it wasn't God, it wasn't even the devil. You did it to yourself because you refused to forget some hurt. I'm sure somebody really did hurt you. Is it worth living like this for the rest of your life? Is it worth being completely off course? Like, don't let somebody else's mistake be the end of your life. Don't let something stupid somebody did or said or something keep you from the purposes of God for your life. Oh, my heart just broke for this guy. And I could tell, I was like, this would take so much unraveling. It's not even worth bringing a point of like encouragement or correction right now. It's totally not even worth it. I looked at it, I was like, Lord, should I say something? It was like, not right now. This won't help at all. I heard the Holy Spirit say, what would you say to unravel this right now? I was like, well, nothing. This is a big one because it was 20 years of raveling. Oh, don't wind up down that path. It starts early. The stronghold starts with Lego blocks half an inch tall. You just go over and kick that thing over. It ain't a stronghold yet. But if he keeps building, he fortifies the thing. You can wind up completely off of your destiny. And last one I want to just touch on. I mean, I'm trying to really sell you here, because I believe when I prayed a minute ago, the Holy Spirit dropped stuff in your spirits. I want to convince you to let that thing go tonight. I want to implore you to not wind up on all this list for it to impact your decisions, your emotions, misdirect your life, complicate situations, impair your relationships, keep you from your destiny, and the last one, cause you avoidable stress. I hate stress. Who likes stress? Who's like, I just love it. It's my favorite. Give me all a stress sandwich. Delicious. Like, who wants to be stressed? You know, most stress, not all, most stress is avoidable. It's avoidable. But when we hold on to stuff God does not want us holding on to, it causes stress because it's crud we weren't supposed to carry. It's thoughts. It's emotions, it's all the rejection stuff we talked about earlier, it's hurt feelings, it's the past successes, past failures, jealousy. When we hold on to the stuff that we're not supposed to be holding on to, it stresses us out. And our life is worse. Remember the course? Remember the title? Power to Live Well. Listen, I want for you to move in the prophetic. I want for you to move in power to heal the sick and do all sorts of miracles. But if you show up before the throne totally stressed out, I feel like as a pastor, I really didn't give you the tools that you needed. Like, oh, I did all these great things, but I lived so stressed. Like, I'm constantly about to like have a mental breakdown. I'm going to implode on myself and then explode back out and take everybody with me. Like, how unhealthy. Let it go. The Lord has given you power to forget that thing that you're thinking about. There's power. There's grace for it. You may not want it, but that's on you, and you really, really do want it. You really, really do. You want to live well. You don't want to live in that bondage. And God has given you power to forget that stuff. 2 Corinthians 3:17. Just think about this for a second. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom, okay? Let's think about this in the most practical sense, okay? You have the Holy Spirit living in you. Why in the world would you choose to live in bondage when the Word of God says where the Holy Spirit is, inside your guts, there is freedom there. There's freedom available to no end. You can have as much freedom as you want. Why would you willfully choose to live in bondage where you can have freedom? The Holy Spirit lives in you. That's where the Holy Spirit is. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there's freedom. You can live free. You can live free. You don't have to deal with that stuff. You don't have to carry it. You don't have to be owned by it and held down by it. You can live free. Why would you choose willingly to live in bondage? Don't do that. Bad idea. Boo. Bad. Dislike. Boo. The great takeaway from Daughter on the Fourth Row is boo bad. Boo bad. So that's going to be what I hear about tonight. What did Daddy preach on? Boo bad. Yes, Lord, help me. Okay, so Galatians 5:25. You guys know the verse, but like I love this verse. I want this for me. I want this for you. And we can't do it if we're holding on to stuff. God is like, forget that. Stop thinking about that. Don't give that any more brain cycles ever again. Galatians 5:25. Since we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit. Let's go where he goes. Let's think about the stuff he wants us thinking about. Let's be led of him in each season of life. Let's keep in step. If he's going left, let's go left. If he's going left, don't hold on to right. Yeah, but they did this thing to me. It's like, I've given you power to forget that. Like, can you just think about how bad off Jesus would be and how, like, icky of the fragrance around the throne if Jesus was still mad at everybody that crucified him? He's still holding a grudge. He's like up in heaven going, I can't believe those. Don't they know I was God? They spit on me. I'll spit on them. Crown my head with thorns. Oh, you just wait till I come back. Like, how yucky would heaven be? I mean, doesn't he have more of a right to hold on and nurse a grudge than you do for whatever your thing is? Like, come on. He's God, and he gets killed for doing right and being good and speaking truth. Whatever you have going on isn't that bad. Okay? And he's like, it never dawned on him to hold on to that. Jesus never was like, I am going to think about this for eternity. It never even crossed his mind that that was a good idea. And the emotions that he had to deal with as a human, fully God, fully person, as the human side of Jesus, he had to fight those emotions. They came against him. Can you believe they did that? No, accuser, I'm not going to listen to you. I am not going to dwell on those things. I'm just not going to do it. How could he do that? He had power, the same power you have. He just actually applied the power. He used the spiritual principle, the power to forget. All right, so now let's get real. Let's talk about forgetting your own successes and failures. This is where it gets a little real. Forgetting your own successes and failures. Isaiah 43:18-19. There's stuff in our life we would be a lot better off just forgetting about. A lot better off. Isaiah 43, forget the former things. Do not dwell on the past. I'm doing a new thing. Why would the Bible tell us to forget if we have no power to forget? I mean, why would the Bible say, don't live in immorality if it's like everybody's doomed to live in immorality? Why would the Bible say, don't lie, you know, if we're all doomed to just be liars and lie all the time? Why would the Bible say, forget? If you don't have the ability to do it, you do. You have the power to forget the former things. Pick a former thing, any former thing. You have the power to forget it and to not dwell on the past. Instead, to be looking at what is the Lord doing right now? What does life look like right now? What do my relationships look like right now? What are my situations, my circumstances, my options? What does life look like right now? God, you're doing a new thing right now. Don't dwell on the past. Forget those former things. Whatever in your past that hinders you, forget it. This is Paul's secret to living godly. One of Paul's secrets to godly living. I want to live godly. I want to live in joy. I want to live in peace. I want to live as a good dad. I want to live as a lot of things that are good. One of Paul's secrets to godly life was the power to forget. Look what the word says. Philippians 3:13-14. I don't consider myself to have taken hold of it yet, but one thing I do, now I'm not there yet, but one thing I do, I practice on purpose, I apply a spiritual principle God has given me power to do. One thing I do, forgetting what is behind and straining on towards the goal. I intentionally, Apostle Paul, all my issues, I've been stoned, I've got, you know, demon girls chasing after me after while I'm preaching, I got all kinds of stories and crazy stuff. One thing I do, I forget it so that I can do God's stuff. I forget the former things. I do not dwell on the past so that I might press on towards the new things that God's doing, the purposes of God for my life, my destiny, my, like today, my joy today. I press on, I forget. Paul knew the power to forget. I want to tell you, many of you in this room tonight, you are being given tonight some serious equipping for your life today. You have the power to forget that crud and to press on towards the things that God has for you. Yes, you do. You have power tonight to forget it. And if you'll do it, you'll live so much more free. How about your own sin? Isaiah 54, verse 5. Do not be afraid. You'll not be put to shame. Do not fear disgrace. You'll not be humiliated. You will forget the shame of your youth. You will forget the shame. We all know what it is to feel shame. Don't you live there. Forget the shame. You sinned. Repent, move on. You'll sin again, it's okay. Repent, move on, and forget the shame. Forget that shame. I'm feeling shameful. Forget it. No, you don't know what I did. It doesn't matter. It can't be worse than killing Jesus. Okay? Like, forget the shame. Forget the shame. You've been given power. Forget it. You passed hardships. I'm not saying you haven't had hardships. I'm just saying don't dwell on it. Like, what good does it do to dwell on it? You know, somehow the enemy is like tricky. We feel justified dwelling on our past hardships like somehow it's like merit badges. Like, I went through this. I'm a baddie. I went through this hard thing, and I'm not going to forget that hard thing. That hard thing, it's a hard thing. And we hold on to it. Can I read you the message out of Genesis with Joseph? I love this verse. Genesis 41, 50-52. You guys know the story of Joseph? I mean, the dude went through some stuff. You could call that hardship. Okay, he went through some hardships, all right? Before the years of the famine came, two sons were born to Joseph, and Asenath, daughter of Potipharah, priest of On. And Joseph named his firstborn Manasseh and said, "It is because God has made me forget all my trouble and all my father's household." He throws in there all my father's household because all his father's household was his trouble. They're the ones that threw him in the pit and then forgot about, left him and claimed that he was dead. I mean, it's kind of a rough story. I doubt anybody's done anything quite that bad to you. And if they have, find solace in the fact that Joseph was able to forget those things and to move forward. Instead of being bound for the rest of his life, no, that thing that happened to me, it was so hard, that's my new identity. I'm the guy that's marked by the hard thing that happened to me. I'm telling you, that's what this guy was that I talked to some time ago. That's who this man became. His identity was wrapped up in a 20-year-old hurt, a 20-year-old hardship. It was now the defining factor of his existence. Horrifying, tragic, sad, painful. And I guarantee you, he didn't think in the moment, I'm going to wind up 20 years from now, a hermit, all hurt and bothered and distant and disconnected and angry and off course. He just took a step in agreeing with and holding on to something. The Lord was like, do not hold on to that. Forget that. He's like, nope, I am justified in thinking about this thing. Wound up very off course. Don't be like that. How about your past successes? Put up the passage, this sad little passage out of Haggai 2. Haggai 2, 3 through 5. You guys know the passage. But Haggai 2, 3 through 5 is the description of the new temple that's being built. The old temple had been destroyed. It's this giant pile of ruin. And they're building the new temple. And they look at it and they're like, what a sad little structure. They just can't get over it. He says, who is left of you who saw this house in its former glory? How does it look to you now? Does it not seem to you like nothing? But now be strong, Zerubbabel, declares the Lord. Be strong, Joshua, son of Jehozadak, the high priest. Be strong, all of you people of the land, declares the Lord, and work. For I am with you, declares the Lord Almighty. This is what I covenanted with you when you came out of Egypt, and my spirit remains among you. Do not fear. Now, here's what's happening. Here's part of the message of what's happening here. There are a few of these guys that remember the super temple. It was awesome. It was probably the most expensive building that had ever been built. It was so magnificent and ornate. It was incredible. And they're remembering that. And now they're looking at what this current thing is going to be. And they're like, this new temple we're going to build, it's going to be pretty boo. Like, it's not going to be epic like the old one was. There are times where you're living in the old glory days and it'll kill you. We're living in that. How unhelpful for those guys to be moping around going, eh, it won't be 70 feet tall, it won't be 20. Oh, it won't have gold plates, it'll have rock. I mean, it's like, that's silly. That's a waste of life. Not only that, it's a real Debbie Downer on the next generation that has absolutely no remembrance of what you're talking about anyway. Enjoy the day. Don't hold on to your past successes. If they're a hindrance, there's some past successes that are helpful and good. I'm not talking about those. The Lord will give you discernment how to work all this out and navigate this, because there's good versions of everything and bad versions of everything. You got to figure out the bad ones. I'm telling you, don't hold on to the bad ones. Hold on to all the good ones. Hold on to what is good. Cling to what is good. Dismiss all that is evil. And if it's unhelpful, it's unfruitful, it's unhealthy, don't hang on to that. All right, now, we just talked about the failures and the successes. Your own failures and successes. Now let's talk about forgetting the successes and failures of others. Luke 10, 19, another spiritual warfare passage. I have given you authority to trample on snakes and scorpions, and I don't want to focus on the snakes and scorpions right now. That's a different message. And to overcome all the power of the enemy. You're not cool enough in and of yourself to come up with a bad idea that would totally derail you from life. You're just not that smart. The enemy is the one that sows the seeds that wind up growing into derailment. The enemy is the one that sows the seeds of bitterness. He sows the seeds of discontent and of jealousy, of all those things. You're not even that cool. You're not even that smart. It was the devil, I promise. You have authority to overcome all the power of the enemy. Yes, you do. You can forget those things. You have power. We just got to apply it. So let's talk about their wrongs. 1 Corinthians 13:5. People are going to do wrong. At some point, people are going to do wrong to you. It'll probably happen before the day or the week's out. It's just life. It's just humans. Oh, and by the way, you did somebody wrong today too, and they didn't, you know, you didn't even realize you did it. Unless you did. Like, it's just part of life. We're not going to, like, avoid it. I mean, until Jesus comes back and everything's, like, on the way to perfect, like, this isn't going anywhere. So people are going to do wrong. They are going to do wrong. But love doesn't dishonor others. It's not self-seeking. It's not easily angered. And it keeps no record of wrongs. I just want to tell you this. If not for their sake, if not for being spiritual and obedient, do it for yourself. be so selfish. Don't keep a record of their wrongs so that you don't have a list in your soul of the wrongs they've done to you, so that you've got permission to feel angrier faster. I can't believe you did it. Did this and this and this and this. Don't keep record of wrongs. Just dismiss it. Forget the wrong. Yeah, but they did the thing. Forget the wrong. They did the thing. It's true. Okay, now what? Well, I want to hold on to that. Why would you do that to yourself? I'm not doing it to myself. I'm doing it to them. No, you're doing it to yourself. You're holding on to something God told you not to. And it's killing you. Don't hold on to the wrongs of others. How about their sins? I love the Genesis passage again, Genesis 50, 20 through 21. This is now Joseph just in the same, you know, storyline a little bit later. He says, you know, you guys, you remember when you threw me in that hole? That was a tough day. Listen, you intended harm for me, but God intended it for good, to accomplish what is now being done, the saving of many lives. So then don't be afraid. I will provide for you and your children. And he reassured them and spoke kindly to them. He wasn't holding their sins against them. Instead, he was blessing them. In the natural, according to any court in the land, he would have had right to do bad stuff to them. If you operate in all of your rights, you'll wind up a mess, a heaping mess. I have the right to this. I have the right to that. Listen, Jesus laid down every right. And he had a whole lot of rights he just didn't do. He had the right to how many legions of angels to come down and bail him out. He had a right to it. And he's like, no, I'm not. I got to follow God. There are rights that will get in your way. I mean, mad skills get in your way. If you apply those rights that you're entitled to, they'll kill you. Let go of the sins. I know it's painful, but don't be held captive by their sins. Don't live a different way because of the way they live, because of the way they sinned, the way they did decisions, whatever they did wrong. How about their blessings? 1 Corinthians 3:3, forget what you don't have, be content with what you do. Forget it. I don't have this, I don't have this. Why would you live consumed by that? That's unhealthy. That will kill you, that'll be poison. Paul says, 1 Corinthians, you're still worldly. Since there's jealousy and quarreling among you, are you not worldly? Are you not acting like mere humans? I love Paul. Like he's like, you're actually supposed to be like super people. You're super folk. You're given the power of the Holy Spirit to not think like the lost think, to not act like the lost act, not respond like the lost act. Well, how do the lost act? In jealousy. Don't live in jealousy. You have power to live past that. Let it go. Words. There are plenty of words that people speak that are totally unhelpful. Maybe it was mean words. Maybe it was words they were speaking about you and they didn't know that you were listening or it got back to you. There's plenty of times where people are going to say stuff, do stuff, and their words are going to come across and they're piercing. They're hurtful. I'm not saying they're not hurtful. I'm saying they're not worth holding on to. If you ever get an arrow, someone shoots you with an arrow and it's sticking in your side, please do not decide to walk around for the rest of your life and get all of your clothes altered to have a hole in your right side so that that arrow has a place to stay in you. If you get pierced, pull it out, break it, probably bite it. Nah, I got you, arrow. Got out of me. Don't let a pierce stick. Pull it out, bandage it up, put some peroxide on that thing. Let's move forward. When people say words, why would we want to spend any time at all thinking about the words of other people that are unhealthy? Words about how great they are. Words about how ungreat you are. Words about how much stuff they have. Words about how insignificant your accomplishments are. Why would we want to listen to those words? Why would we even give it any place? I'm going to end with this. Some practical steps. Set yourself to forget. Decide tonight, I'm going to be a forgetter. I am going to become professional at forgetting stuff that has no place in my mind, soul, and emotions. I'm going to be a professional at it. I'm going to get good at forgetting the stuff God wants me to forget. And I bet you everybody in this room has got a list of stuff God wants you to forget. Ask him, Lord, give me the list and help me forget it and help me get good at it. You said I've got power. I want the power. I do not want to live under the pressure of unhealthy things that I could forget about and be better off by God. Remember all the verses we just read? Forget, 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 forget. Why would the Word of God encourage you to forget if, one, you have no power to forget, and two, if it's unhelpful to forget? It's helpful and you have power. Decide you want to be a forgetter. That's the first. Second, catch yourself, especially with the comparison thing. Catch yourself in those moments where you're starting to feel something hit. Maybe you're comparing yourself. You're thinking about your former self. You're thinking about the former things. And God's like, don't, it's unhealthy right now. Don't think about that. You're thinking about what your friend has, your neighbor, their situation in life. What's going on with them? Don't dwell on that. If you think about that and you give place to it, it will own you and eat your lunch. Take that thing. Catch yourself comparing every form of that comparison. Call it unhealthy and get rid of it. Don't think about it. Call it sin and repent. I just want to tell you there are some lies that some of you are hearing and believing. These thoughts aren't wrong. It's just me thinking. Some of those thoughts are wrong. Everybody else around me thinks this way, so it's normal. If everybody else jumps off a bridge, you're going to jump off a bridge too? And just because everybody's broken doesn't mean we want to go with everybody. I'm not even saying that you're wrong, that it's a normal way, that it's an accepted way to think of this or to hold that grudge or to be bitter about this or to live in that comparison. I understand that that's happening like abundantly, but that doesn't make it okay. I don't know how to think any different, so this is just the way it's going to be. It's a lie. You've been given power to demolish strongholds. You've been given power to forget. You've been power to overcome every attack and plan of the enemy in your life. And I'm telling you, the majority of those attacks happen in your brain. It's your thought life. And it's more than lust or anger. I mean, get rid of them too. But it's jealousy and comparison and resentment and hurt and rejection. Those things will kill you. Decide you're going to overcome. And then the last thing I want to leave you with is separate yourself from unnecessary triggers. I've got a friend. I was so proud of this friend. I was like, you are so godly. this is a friend of mine. And they realize, and I'm not telling you to do this. If this is a trigger for you, then maybe you need to do this. But if it's not, then don't. But for her, she recognized, she was like, you know, I kind of had to get off of Instagram and Facebook because every time I opened it, I was constantly confronted with how jealous I was of all my friends, of what they had and the trips they were getting to take and the stuff they were getting to do and who they were getting to be with and all this stuff. I was so jealous constantly, I realized I needed to just turn that off. And I was like, that's powerful. She intentionally separated from some stuff that were triggers. Now, there are some stuff in life. It's like, well, I get triggered every time I go into work. I'm sorry. That one's not going anywhere. But there are some triggers you actually can deal with. And every time I watch this show, it triggers me that, well, don't watch a show. Every time I walk by that person's house, triggered, go the other way. Every time, if there's some triggers, don't make it harder on yourself. Like, especially as you're trying to get over this, try to make it as easy on yourself as possible. There's some stuff you can't get rid of, but there's some stuff you can. Ask the Holy Spirit to help you identify some triggers that are avoidable. And then separate yourself.
This concludes this teaching from Forerunner Fellowship. For more information about our congregation, visit forerunnerfellowship.org. Thank you.